So, good morning, 3CR. It's wonderful to be with you. It's actually Friday morning. It's public holiday for many of you, or you're on long weekend. But wherever you are listening to this, happy weekend, happy Sunday. We're in the building, and as you can see behind me, there's a lot of scaffolding, which is actually to raise up a platform to put five different layers into the ceiling. And just looking behind me, it's an amazing thing that we're going to actually use scaffolding from below to seal people in the top. It's just a prophetic morning this morning as we update you on the road. And I believe as leadership in the church, we have three responsibilities. One thing is to love people. The number one thing is to love people. And we've done that as best we can through this lockdown period and in these very uncertain times. We've done the best to love you in prayer and through the word. The second thing is to feed people. And we've been preaching from the Bible through the books of Peter and different scriptures to feed you and to nourish you and to keep you healthy. But the third thing that God calls us to do is to lead people. And I had a rugby captain who used to talk about fourth quarter fire. We would have three quarters of the match and then we'd have the last part to go. And that's actually where we are in our building process right now. It's where we are as a journey and community. We're in the fourth quarter. We've raised nearly 51 million rand. And I just want to commend you, I want to thank you, I want to honor you, to say you've been absolutely unbelievable. But we're not finished yet. And I absolutely hate raising money. I much prefer to raise a vision and a revelation. And if you're willing and able to participate in that. And so that's what we're going to do today. We're going to lead in this fourth quarter of our journey. We need to raise another 19 million rand. And that doesn't come with any form of pressure. So how did we get to 70, Rory? Well, we had to buy a property next door because of access and another entrance and exit. The building that we put up, our temporary structures, plus screens and sound and chairs and everything, the whole project is going to cost us 70 million rand. And we're trusting to do it without the help of the banks. The Bible says the borrower is subject to the lender. And we're trying to do it where we're not subjecting ourselves to the banks at this time. And so I just want to invite you to participate without any form of pressure. We said that we're going to give in four ways. Joyfully or cheerfully, willingly. No man is going to pressurize us, no leadership, Rory. No one's going to pressurize us. Sacrificially, and I want to tell you to raise 51 million rand, there's been a lot of sacrifice. And the last one is wholeheartedly. When you go into a basketball court or a netball court or a rugby field or a water polo game, you always say to your kids, just give it your best. And we want to make sure as we come out of this project that it has been a wholehearted effort that we've made to do what God has called us to do. You know, friends, I've served God for 30 years. In those 30 years, I've only felt God three times make a sustained demand upon the sacrifices of my finances. This is the third time. So we've been involved in two building projects in Durban where we had to sacrifice. This is the third time. And I just don't want us to miss out. I think, gee, if I'm going to serve God for 50 years, only five times. I'm not talking about tithes and offerings. I'm just talking about over and above. Only five times in my whole Christian life, God will make a sacrificial demand upon my finances. And when I walk through this building, no pressure. The Spirit of God is here. And I honestly don't want people to miss out on the opportunity to raise up the next generation of people. Now, when I say that, I just want to share with you a couple of stories. The first one is a story about a man called Michael. Now, many of you will not know Michael, but a lot of the touches on this property have got to do with Michael. He's a qualified architect, but he runs our design department. He's got an amazing eye. He chooses colors. He thoughtfully processes many things. In our new temporary facility, much of the detail, the logos and all those things have been designed by Michael. But we're going to show a picture now of our tot zone. And if you look at the ceiling of the tot zone, the picture will come up on the side. If you look at the ceiling of the tot zone, you will just think it's actually a molded ceiling. But it's actually not just a molded ceiling. Above the doors of the tot zones, the ceilings are open and they point towards the doors which go onto the adventurous playground. And Michael, with his gifting, said to our architects, we need open heavens that lead to open doors that lead to the adventures in God. And so we're not just building a building here, friends. We are building an opportunity for children to come to church and actually find out what it means to live under open skies that will lead to open doors that will lead to adventures. And so these things are not just little architectural, structural pieces. They're prophetic proclamations that we believe we are making. I can just remember the boringness of when I was in kids ministry. We have got a vibrant, colorful opportunity to invest in the next generation of people's lives. Friends, imagine if our kids come here and they understand open heavens from an early, early age, just because of a designer called Michael, who some of you will never meet. He's a quiet guy. But actually, this church wouldn't function without him and without his touch. And so we have all these incredible details. I think of the story in Acts when Paul is getting stoned, and he looks up and he sees the heavens open. And when he sees Jesus standing there, he looks at everybody he's stoning them and says, "Lord, forgive them." I think of the story in Genesis when Jacob is at the bottom and he sees a ladder going up to heaven, and he sees God standing up in the top of the ladder. And the Bible says in John chapter 1 that Jesus is the ladder that links heaven and earth. Imagine, friends, if we are not just in investing in a building, but we are investing in open heavens over children's lives, which Michael has displayed in this beautiful design of the building. Can you imagine that? The second story I want to tell you is about what Ferdinand, our architect, calls the care wall. It's the wall as you drive into the property that has actually got a whole lot of different brick designs. And he designed it that way so that when people come here who have never been to church, they will be able to say, "I'm not just walking into a building with an ordinary wall. I'm actually walking into a building that is a lot of care has been taken." Now, friends, if you come here early in the morning, the sun shines onto the building, and those bricks, which you're going to see now in a picture, those bricks cast shadows everywhere. And you'll notice that some bricks are very close together and some bricks are very far apart. And there are one or two bricks that are a long way away from community. And people that are going to walk into this church, some are going to be very close and their shadows are going to interact. And some people are going to be very, very far from community. But Ferdinand has put those bricks there to know that when the sun shines, you make a shadow. And from the book of Peter, we remember a few things. We know that shadows can haunt us, shadows can hurt us, but we know that when Jesus actually starts shining through our lives, like he did with Peter, our shadows start healing people. And so we don't just drive into a building that's got a kind of a brick wall. We actually drive into a building that is representing people's lives and their shadows and community and care. Let's invest in that. Not the actual brick, the actual living stones who are casting shadows. Let's invest in actually people that are haunted and people that are hurt so that we can actually shine the sun through them so that they can become healing agents of this world. The third story I want to tell you about is actually a brick wall that every single person is going to walk into when they walk into the main auditorium. It was a surprise from our architect. It's actually 3,000 bricks that have been saved from our old building. And I don't know if you know this, but it's actually much cheaper to buy a new brick than it is to rescue an old brick. It's just more cost efficient. But our architect, as a gift to us, saved 3,000 bricks from our old building. And you'll see this wall. He's put it together in honor of every man, woman, and child that has gone before us. He's done it as a memorial stone so that we might remember that we're actually not the ones who got us here. There's a whole two or three generations of men and women that have gone before us. People like Rudy and Geraldine. Do you know Rudy and Geraldine? They're in that wall. They formed the foundation of this church. Men and women who have paid an incredible price for the tent, for the move, for the sound equipment, for the church plants. And every time we walk in this building, 30 years said to us, we will be reminded of the men and women that have played a part. It says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It says, "My prayer is that as your faith continues to grow, you will preach the gospel in regions beyond you." This is a base that you and I have got the privilege of enjoying because of the generation past, but actually our responsibility is for our faith to grow so that the next generation can preach the gospel in regions beyond us. The final story I tell before we actually get to some scriptures is actually a story of our architect Ferdinand. His dad was also called Ferdinand. He was a plastic surgeon. And through our coffee drive-throughs over the last few weeks, one of our elders met his mum and said to her, she's also a doctor, she's an anaesthetist, said to her, "Mrs. Lakranchi, your husband would be very proud of your son. And I think this building would be amazing for him to see." And she was very, very tender at that prospect. Her husband died 6 years ago. And the elder felt we should throw a party for Ferdinand's dad because the Bible says, honor your mother and father. It'll go well with you and you'll enjoy long life. And so we decided to throw a party for Ferdinand's dad. And on the 26th of August, we had a party. Now that party, somebody in our church, a Greek man, married to a Portuguese woman. Now there's an interesting scenario, the Greeks and the Portuguese. But they were not serving God, this couple. A couple in Portugal who could not get their visas were sent back to South Africa, stayed with this couple, and in their staying with them, invited them to 3CI. They got saved and have committed their lives here. This Greek man heard about the dinner and decided to pay for the whole dinner in honor of the architect of this building. And so he provided for this whole meal, him and his wife. And we had an incredible moment when we realized that as our staff researched Ferdinand's dad, that he was one of the first athletes in this country to be sponsored by Nike. And so we actually bought Nike shoes for the family. Our staff did this whole kind of research on his dad. And we bought Nike shoes for the family. And Ferdinand got up to speak and he said, because you know the story, he was an atheist when he arrived here. He said, we grew up with a father who ran because they would go to all these races and his mum was an anesthetist, his dad a plastic surgeon, so they grew up in the hospitals. He said, but we grew up with a father who ran. We went to all these races. But when I came to this church, I learnt about a running father, a father who runs towards me. And when they had finished their speech, he pulled out an unbelievable gift. His dad had a Rolex, gold Rolex Oyster Perpetual watch, exactly the same as my father's. And my dad said to me, because I've given away many watches over my life, and actually this watch was given to me from a man of CRC Church, gave it to me on the 31st of July. And he said, God's time has come. And my dad said to me, he said, son, I want to leave you my watch on one condition, that you never give it away, because I give all these watches away. And so I've kept my dad's watch as what he said was his prized possession that he would give to me. But on the night of Ferdy's dad's birthday, 26th of August, Ferdy and his mum and his sister Michelle got up and gave their dad's most treasured possession, his gold Rolex Oyster Perpetual watch, gave it to the building project. They said, we want our dad's memory to provide for the building on this day, the 26th of August, so that future generations can benefit from my dad's estate. Friends, we are not involved in a building project. We're involved in a spiritual adventure, preparing a building for people to get saved, to get changed, to get healed, to get restored. I've been appealing to our staff that we might grow in faith as we start to occupy this building. So I've been reading through the book of Daniel and through the book of Hosea, and I come and stand here on Sunday afternoons in this auditorium that just echoes, and I start to declare what God is showing me through these books, because I think every one of us has got to grow. And you know, this time, I've always said this is not a financial project. God is just using money to increase our capacity, friends. Our capacity to give, our capacity to love, our capacity to support. When I look at these scaffolding, some of you will be the scaffolding. Some of you will need the scaffolding until you are strong enough to, until your concrete becomes solid where you can stand on your own feet. But when I was reading Daniel, if I said to you, Daniel, the first thing you'll think, Daniel and the lion's den. The second thing you'll think was Meshach, Meshach, and a bungalow, all in a fire. And we think of the fire and we think of the lion. But when I was reading through, I looked at the opposition in Daniel. And in Daniel 7, it says this. It says, there will be great opposition against God's people. It will come in the form of a lion. It will come in the form of a bear. It will come in the form of a leopard. It gets you from behind. It will come in the form of a monster with metal teeth that is so terrifying, will crush everything in its path. And I know times have been tough for people. There's been incredible oppositions, lions and leopards and bears and monsters with teeth. But this is what it says in Daniel. It says, then the Ancient of Days took his seat. And I tell you, friends, I got just absolutely overwhelmed by the love of God. And I came and stood in the pulpit of this building. I said, Ancient of Days, will you take your seat? And then there's a court case that happens in heaven between those who are opposing God's people. And then it says this, the Ancient of Days pronounced sentence in favor of the saints of God Most High. And I stood here one Sunday afternoon and I started declaring, you in the seventh row, you in the last row, you in the front row, you in the back row, the God. God, the Ancient of Days pronounces favor towards the saints of the God Most High. We're investing, friends, in a court case where God is going to set the guilty free. We are investing in a hospital where God is going to heal the sick. We are investing, friends, in an opportunity to see people set free. We're going to build people up with scaffolding from the bottom. We are going to absolutely top them with five layers of protection from the top. Don't lose the opportunity to participate. I was reading through the book of Hosea, 25-year story, adultery, pornography, indiscretion, unfaithfulness. Chapter 3, redemption. Chapter 11, redemption. Chapter 14, redemption. Can you imagine when they walk in here? 25 years of adultery, 25 years of wickedness, 25 years of sexual sin, and we start to declare over them, Hosea chapter 3, God is going to buy you back from the slave market. Hosea chapter 11, when you have been unfaithful, God will be faithful. Friends, I just appeal to you. 1 Chronicles 29, it says the leaders go first. And as best as I know how, my family and I have led this project from the front, not only in example, but in numbers, with our leadership team, our elders, and with our deacon team. We have done as best as possible. It says the leaders gave cheerfully, the leaders gave willingly, and the people rejoiced. But it goes on to say, Lord God, I thank you that the people have given wholeheartedly, and I pray that you will keep this desire in their hearts forever. Read 1 Chronicles 29, friends. I want to thank each and every one of you for every willing contribution that you have made. I want to thank each and every one of you for every cheerful contribution you've made. I can say without a shadow of a doubt, it has been a joy and a delight for my family and I, not to just invest in our future, but to invest in the future of the next generation of Christianity that is going to be broadcast from this building. But I want to appeal to you on two things. Fourth quarter fire. It has to cost us something. And I know, friends, we've got 4 or 5 months left. But I pray, be sacrificial, give up stuff. It's going to be worth it for the next generation. And finally, I want us to come out of this project, every one of us, and say, I've given wholeheartedly. Maybe only the second or third time. Maybe it's the first time in your life. Maybe God will only ask you this time. But I've given wholeheartedly to the project. Remember, friends, just four things. Willing. Don't ever feel manipulated. Cheerful. Got to be happy about it. Sacrificial, it's got to cost you something, wholehearted. I want to come off the field and saying, I've given my best. 3CI and our partners and our community and our friends all over the world who have given to us. A pastor from Natal walked on the site the other day. He just walked through the site and the next day put 100,000 rand in our bank account. One of our partners in Centurion put 300,000 rand in our bank account. Friends, I want to thank every single person, my mum, my sister, my children, every one of our leaders, our elders, everybody who's paid a price, my little boy, my younger son. I want to thank every single person, that little boy who left here on a Sunday night at 8 o'clock and came back with his piggy bank. Friends, we are on a journey to change people's lives, to open the heavens, to heal their shadows, to build a sanctity over their lives, a foundation where they can change the world. God bless you, 3CI. We love you. We're praying for you. We'll continue to lead. We'll continue to feed. But most importantly, I hope we will continue to love you. In Jesus' name. I pray, Lord God, that you would come under any form of condemnation. It would only come under conviction. Lord, I believe there are very wealthy men and women in this church that have tipped this project, Lord God. The others, Lord God, that are, Corinthians says, in your extreme poverty, your generosity welled up at a massive price. Pray, Lord God, that the right people's ears and hearts and eyes will be opened. Lord, this is your task. It says in Chronicles, Lord God, the task is great, but this building is not for man, but for the Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you would be honored from this first time preached in this building. That every time we meet here, Lord God, you would be glorified. I pray, Lord God, that people would be set free. Constantly. Constantly set free. I thank you for every nook and cranny of this building. I thank you for every detail, Lord God. I thank you for watches and wallets. I thank you for this team, Lord God, that have given up much. Sown much, Lord God. Broadcast, published, spent late hours, Lord God, praying at Bomas, painting walls, sacrificing holidays, trips overseas, so that your name can be glorified. I pray, Lord God, that you would radically come through for us now as we finish this project, that we won't ever have to market it or hype it up. But I pray, Lord God, that would create a pulpit here of worship, of fellowship, the coffee machines, where people get healed, set free. I pray, Lord God, would you use these 19 minutes, Father? Would you just take them, Lord God, and glorify yourself through them? In Jesus' name, amen.